This is the Healthy Living Podcast on OWL Radio, a community service of the Low Vision Resource Center. OWL Radio broadcasts to homes in San Antonio, the Hill Country, in San Antonio Methodist Hospitals, and via online streaming and smartphone access. You can also ask your Alexa device to enable and play OWL Radio. Welcome, I am Martha Attee. Today's program is being recorded on March 3rd, 2023. The topics that we will start with are the health benefits of bird watching and preventing memory loss. We'll start with those two and we'll see if we have time left for anything else. We'll begin with the bird watching article. The Surprising Benefits of Bird Watching. This was from the December 2022 article from the New York Times. Spending time outdoors with a pair of binoculars is good for your body and soul, by Eric Vance. Tama Watts remembers the exact moment when she became a bird watcher. It was April 2007. She was stuck in her house, struggling with chronic pain resulting from complications after surgery. The pain had become so debilitating that Ms. Watts, formerly an avid biker and hiker, couldn't hold a pencil or pick up a cup at times. It had forced her to leave her job as a therapist and confined her to her home, where she had sunk into a deep depression. Then one day, she looked out her kitchen window. She said, quote, "There's a tree that has a branch that tends to grow down, and there was this bright yellow bird there." She didn't know that it was called a yellow warbler, or really anything about birds at all, but she was entranced. Every day she watched it jump from branch to branch, barely discernible from the yellow blossoms of the tipu tree. And over time, this bird led her to others in her yard and brought Ms. Watts out of her pain and sadness and back into the world. She started keeping track of the birds she saw, joined a local Audubon Society chapter, and traveled the state looking for new birds. Now, she sits on the Audubon California Board of Directors. In short, she said, birding changed her life. She is writing a book called, quote, "Keep Looking Up, Your Guide to the Powerful Healing of Bird Watching." Ms. Watt says, "It's contagious, it's addicting. Birding really does cross over into so many areas of wellness, health, and fitness." If you are curious about bird watching and looking for a reason to get outside this winter, it is the perfect time to start scanning the skies, either with a group like the Audubon Society or on your own. Why bird watch? It's no secret that spending time in nature is good for your mind. Studies show that even a stroll through a city park decreases stress, sharpens concentration, improves long-term mental health outcomes. A few studies suggest there might be something especially healthy about birds in particular. One study published in October found that just being near birdsong improved mental well-being. Birds are accessible and equitable because they're everywhere in every habitat, said Holly Merker, a guide for the National Audubon Society and a co-author of the book Orintherapy. Even dense cityscapes offer rock doves, often incorrectly called pigeons. They also have sparrows, hawks, and falcons. There is less research on the physical benefits of birding specifically, but evidence does suggest that walking regularly can help you live longer. And as any bird watcher will tell you, the lure of the next bird inspires you to walk farther than you normally would. Miss Merker said, "You find yourself out there for what should have been 45 minutes, making a two-hour birding foray into the woods or around a loop trail at a wetlands." No one knows this better than Ted Floyd, the editor of Birding Magazine. According to his count, he has gone bird watching for more than 5,800 days in a row. That's about 16 years. Some days, he said, he might make a 10-minute walk around his neighborhood. Other excursions can last 24 hours or involve 27 miles of hiking. He's even signed up for a 10-kilometer running races because they go through good bird habitats. Mr. Floyd said, "If it weren't for bird watching, I'd be awfully sedentary." He added that he often goes more than once a day, because he might see different birds midday than he does in the morning. Breaking up your day with short exercise snacks has been shown to be meaningfully improve health. Like Mr. Floyd, Ms. Watts often walks for miles over all kinds of terrain to see certain hard-to-find birds. "For me, this is my fitness, the birding. You're definitely getting a little bit of a boost, even for folks who maybe can't do a whole lot." So how do you get started? You need equipment. Bird watching is simple. All you really need is a quiet place and a single bird. But for most people, it's more fun with two simple tools: a field guide of birds and binoculars, and a rough idea of where to go. First, there is the field guide. Mr. Floyd said to look for one with maps, detailed written descriptions, photos or drawings, and arrows pointing to important markings on the birds. Most people use either National Geographic's Field Guide to the Birds of North America or a Silby guide specific to their region of the country. The drawings in both of these books are meticulously done to reflect what the markings on the birds look like in the field. Increasingly, birders are also turning to apps like the Merlin Bird ID, which was created by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. That app contains an exhaustive catalog of photos and maps and allows you to record and identify bird songs as you go. As for binoculars, serious birders can easily spend more than $500 on a pair made by Leica or another premium brand. But for beginners, a $100 set from REI will suffice. Binoculars are classified by their magnification and lens size. Start with something offering 8x magnification, which will allow you to easily scan or gaze across a tree without getting lost and won't zoom so close that the image gets shaky. A 25 to 30 millimeter lens will be small enough to slip into your backpack pouch, but a bigger 40 millimeter one will allow more on light on a cloudy evening. Mr. Floyd recommended a small pair of binoculars to start. If you decide you want to get a bigger pair later, you can still use the spare set to birdwatch from the car. Remember to pull over the car first before putting on your binoculars. When should you go birdwatching? The peak time to birdwatch in most of America is sunrise in early May. This is during the height of the spring migration. but this is not the best time to learn. Sorting through dozens of species, singing and bickering over food or territory, hidden high on a lush canopy of leaves, will just frustrate you. The best time to start birding is during the winter when the leaves are gone, the food is lower to the ground, and only a few select species are still around. Get to know the juncos, chickadees, cardinals, and jays. Learn to recognize them the way you might a new friend, through how they looked, their mannerisms, and what they like to do. Where do you go to watch birds? Expert birders all agree that it's best to start birding close to home. I encourage people to find a local patch, whether that be their own backyard or a neighborhood park that they are already familiar with, said Ms. Merker. Once you can identify a few birds, consider joining a birding group for a walk. If you'd rather learn on your own, find a nearby trail where you think there might be a lot of food for birds. Paths around wetlands, streams, and lakes are a good start. Areas with berry bushes or forests with a lot of decaying logs are also smart bets. Birds are generally most active around dawn or dusk, but if you look closely, you can spot some any time of the day. Tama Watts has developed a very sharp eye in the years since she spotted that warbler out her window. She has gone bird watching in Cuba, spotted eagles in the Colorado Rockies, and seen tufted puffins in Oregon, at one of the few places on earth that they come to shore. But after that first magical spring, she never saw another bright yellow warbler in her backyard. She said, quote, "For me, they have brought healing through the way they are," adding that birds can be funny, quarrelsome, serene, and profoundly human. Watching birds really invites us to experience the natural world in special ways. They're like, to me, little winged gifts. If you want more information about birding, you can go to the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Their website is birds.cornell.edu, and Cornell is C-O-R-N-E-L-L. And for the Audubon Society, you can go to audubon.org. Audubon is audubon.org. And we'll continue reading on the Healthy Living Podcast. The next article is from the New York Times, and it is dated July 18, 2022, titled, "A Neurologist's Tips to Protect Your Memory." A new book by renowned brain expert says there are a few simple things we can do to prevent memory decline as we age. This is written by Hope Reese. As we age, our memory declines. This is an ingrained assumption for many of us. However, according to neuroscientist Dr. Richard Restak, a neurologist and clinical professor at George Washington Hospital University School of Medicine and Health, decline is not inevitable. The author of more than 20 books on the mind, Dr. Restak has decades worth of experience in guiding patients with memory problems. The Complete Guide to Memory, The Science of Strengthening Your Mind, Dr. Restak's latest book, includes tools such as mental exercises, sleep habits, and diet that can boost memory. Yet Dr. Restak ventures beyond this familiar territory, considering every facet of memory, how memory is connected to creative thinking, technology's impact on memory, and how memory shapes identity. The point of the book is to overcome the everyday problems of memory, Dr. Restak said. Especially working memory, which falls between immediate recall and long-term memory and is tied to intelligence, concentration, and achievement. According to Dr. Restak, this is the most critical type of memory, and exercises to strengthen it should be practiced daily. But bolstering all memory skills, he added, is key to warding off later memory issues. Memory decline is not inevitable with aging. Dr. Restak argues this in the book. Instead, he points to 10, quote, sins or stumbling blocks that can lead to lost or distorted memories. 7 were first described by the psychologist and memory specialist, Daniel Lawrence Schachter. Sins of omission, such as absent-mindedness, and sins of commission, such as distorted memories. To those, Dr. Restak added 3 of his own: technological distortion, technological distraction, and depression. Ultimately, we are what we can remember, he said. Here are some of Dr. Restak's tips for developing and maintaining a healthy memory. Number 1. Pay more attention. Some memory lapses are actually attention problems, not memory problems. For instance, if you've forgotten the name of someone you met at a cocktail party, it could be because you were talking with several people at the time and you didn't properly pay attention when you heard it. Inattention is the biggest cause for memory difficulties, Dr. Restak said. It means you didn't properly encode the memory. One way to pay attention when you learn new information, like a name, is to visualize the word. Having a picture associated with the word, Restak said, can improve recall. For instance, he recently had to memorize the name of a doctor, Dr. King. Well, this is an easy example, he acknowledged. So he pictured a male doctor in a white coat with a crown on his head and a scepter instead of a stethoscope in his hand. Well, that is very easy. A name to remember. Next, find regular everyday memory challenges. There are many memory exercises that you can integrate into everyday life. Dr. Restak suggested composing a grocery list and memorizing it. When you get to the store, don't automatically pull out your list or your phone. Instead, pick up everything according to your memory. Try to see the items in your mind, he said, and only consult the list at the end if necessary. If you're not going to the store, try memorizing a recipe. He added that frequent cooking is actually a great way to improve working memory. Once in a while, get in the car without turning on your GPS and try to navigate through the streets from memory. A small 2020 study suggested that people who used GPS more frequently over time showed a steeper cognitive decline in spatial memory 3 years later. Play games. Games like bridge and chess are great for memory, but so is a simpler game, said Dr. Restak. For instance, Dr. Restak's favorite working memory game is 20 Questions, in which a group or a single person thinks of a person, place, or object, and the other person, the questioner, asks 20 questions with a yes or no answer. Because to succeed, he said, the questioner must hold all of the previous answers in memory in order to guess the correct answer. Another of Restek's tried and true memory exercises simply requires a pen and paper or an audio recorder. To do this exercise, first recall all of the U.S. presidents, starting with President Biden and going back to, say, Franklin D. Roosevelt, writing them or recording them. Then do the same from Franklin D. Roosevelt up to Biden. Next, name only the Democratic presidents and then only the Republican ones. And then lastly, name them in alphabetical order. If you prefer, try it with players on your favorite sports teams, or perhaps try it with your favorite authors. The whole point is to engage your working memory, maintaining information and moving it around in your mind. Read more novels. An early indicator of memory issues, according to Dr. Restek, is giving up on fiction. People, when they begin to have memory difficulties, tend to switch to reading nonfiction. Over his decades of treating patients, Dr. Restek had noticed that fiction requires more active engagement with the text. Starting at the beginning and working through to the end, you have to remember what the character did on page 3 by the time you get to page 11. Beware of technology. Among Dr. Restek's 3 new sins of memory, 2 are associated with technology. First is what he calls technological distortion. Storing everything on your phone means that you don't know it. Dr. Restek said, which can erode our own mental abilities. Why bother to focus, concentrate, or apply efforts to visualize something when a cell phone camera can do all the work for you? The second way our relationship with technology is detrimental for memory is because it often takes our focus away from the task at hand. In our day, the greatest impediment to memory is distraction. Dr. Restek wrote, as many of these tools have been designed with the aim of addicting the person using them, and as a result, we are often distracted by them. People today can check their email while streaming Netflix, talking with a friend, or walking down the street. All of this impedes our ability to focus on the present moment, which is critical for encoding memories. If you need to work with a mental health professional, your mood plays a big role in what you do or do not remember. Depression, for instance, can greatly decrease memory. Among people who are referred to neurologists for memory issues, one of the biggest causes is depression, Dr. Restek said. Your emotional state affects the kind of memories you recall. The hippocampus, or memory entry center, and the amygdala, the part of the brain that manages emotions and emotional behavior, are linked. So, when you're in a bad mood or depressed, you tend to remember sad things. Dr. Restek said, treating depression, either chemically or via psychotherapy, often restores memory. And finally, determine whether there is cause for concern. Throughout his career, Dr. Restek has been asked by dozens of patients how they can improve their memory. But not all memory lapses are problematic. For instance, not remembering where you parked your car in a crowded lot is pretty normal. Forgetting how you arrived at the parking lot in the first place, however, indicates potential memory issues. There is no simple solution to knowing what should be of concern, Dr. Restek said. Much of it is context dependent. For instance, it's normal to forget the room number of your hotel, but not the address of your apartment. If you If you're concerned, it's best to consult with a medical expert. And if you're interested, the name of Dr. Restak's book is The Complete Guide to Memory, The Science of Strengthening Your Mind. And I think we have time for one more short article, How to Age Well. Getting older is inevitable. While you can't control your age, you can slow the decline of aging with smart choices along the way. So, small changes in your eating habits can lower your risk for many with the diseases associated with aging. Lose just a little bit of weight. Small changes in body weight can have big impact on health risks. Losing just 5% of your body weight has been shown to reduce your risk for diabetes and heart disease and improve metabolic function in liver, fat, and muscle tissue. That means a 200-pound person can reap big health benefits by losing just 10 pounds. While we'd all love to shed all of our extra pounds, it's a lot easier to start with a 5% weight goal loss and keep it off. Avoid processed meats. Processed meats like hot dogs and sausages have been salted, cured, or smoked to enhance flavor and improve preservation. A number of studies have found associations between eating a lot of processed meat and poor health. A Harvard review found that eating one serving of processed meats a day, like bacon, sausages, or deli meats, was associated with a 42% risk of heart disease and 19% increased risk of diabetes. The big differences are the levels of sodium and chemical preservatives. Processed meats have about 4 times more sodium and 50% more nitrate preservatives than unprocessed meats. Eat blue. While you shouldn't plan your health around any superfood, there's a lot to be said for eating blueberries. One study of 187 male and female health workers showed eating 3 or more servings of blueberries a week was associated with a 26% lower risk for diabetes. Another study found that eating the equivalent of a cup of blueberries a day lowered blood pressure. Skip packaged foods. The best eating strategy for aging well is to skip processed foods and beverages. How do you know if a food is processed? One good indicator is if it comes in a package that has to be ripped open. Think of chips, granola bars, junk food, fast food, frozen pizza, etc. Try to live by the one ingredient rule. If a packaged food contains only one ingredient, like ground turkey, it's probably a good choice. Once you cut out packaged foods, you will start eating a lot more fruits and vegetables, lean meats, fish, and whole grains. What about supplements? Study after study has seemed to debunk the benefit of taking supplements. Fish oil is one of the most widely used supplements, but numerous studies have shown it has no benefits. There is some evidence that vitamin B12 is good for aging brains, but most evidence suggests we get enough of it in our diet. A doctor can test you to find out if you have a deficiency. The best advice about supplements is save the money you would spend on them and invest in a new pair of walking shoes, a gym membership, or a delicious healthy meal with your family and other loved ones. Thank you for listening to the Healthy Living Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, call 210-829-4223, OWL Radio. The program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Martha Etty. Thank you for listening.